Get ready for an hour of fishing, hunting, and outdoor events from all over the great state of Alabama. It's time for Alabama's Great Days Outdoors Radio Show. Join Joe Baia with Great Days Outdoors Magazine and his special guests as they bring you the latest weekly updates from the woods and the water. Alabama's Great Days Outdoors is brought to you by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. Now, here's Joe Baia. The following is an encore presentation of Alabama's Great Days Outdoors, recorded earlier this year.
Today, we are going to be talking in depth about something that's just a little bit over a month away. We've got the Alabama whitetail archery season beginning. It's one of my favorite ways to hunt. And today, we've got Gary Cornum on the show with us. Gary's with Easton Archery, and we're going to be talking about choosing the right arrow. So, Gary, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
Well, thanks for joining us. The arrow choices have exploded in the last 20 years. And, you know, I thought it was time to maybe distill down and find out how we can choose the right arrow depending on what our personal situation is. And, you know, I want your opinion. Do you feel like terminal performance? So that just means the energy that the arrow is impacting the animal. Is that really where we should begin?
You know, I've been doing this a long time. I've been with Easton for 25 years, and I've thought a lot. I mean, I come to work every day thinking just about arrows. The thing that I worry most about is that, you know, people can get confused because there are so many choices, like you say. And so really what I think when I go to some of the consumer shows and I talk to people, I talk to hunters face-to-face, which I love doing, I get a lot of, you know, common questions. And because I feel like I'm so immersed in it, I have to go and talk to people. So I kind of come back down to earth and really find out what people know, what they don't know, and then try to just clear up the water because there is so many choices out there. And you can get into things like, you know, terminal performance, and we can talk about that, but kind of that rudimentary, you know, what's out there maybe is a good place to start, and what are some of just the rudimentary differences between the different types of arrows that are available to hunters today?
So let's talk about that. We've got, let's just talk about arrow types. We've got carbon arrows, we've got aluminum arrows, we have hybrid arrows, which are, you know, aluminum arrow with a carbon insert. Are there any, I mean, there, you could go back all the way and say there's wood arrows. What am I missing?
Yeah, so that really is kind of the basic overview, what you just said. And I'll just give you a little bit of background and then kind of tell you where we are today. Easton started out in 1922 with wood arrows, like you mentioned. It was Doug Easton working in his garage, basically, back in 1922, and he made wood arrows. Now, wood is still used by some traditionalists, but it's got some limitations. The wood grain runs one direction. So the arrow, every individual arrow, if you're talking about wood, will fly to a different place. One might hit at 2 o'clock, one might hit at 8 o'clock. And so you have to, what they did back then is they numbered their arrows, and they knew that you know, a certain number of arrows was gonna hit in a certain place. So they would aim off the center of what they were trying to hit, knowing that, you know, if they do that, it would hit the center.
Wow.
So Doug Easton got frustrated with that, and he ended up coming up with a better material. He invented the aluminum arrow back in the 30s and 40s, and that's what really revolutionized archery and kind of kicked up what eventually became modern bow hunting, is this ability now to shoot an arrow that's going to hit the center every time. So we made aluminum for a long time, and the Easton family was always experimenting with other materials. And then back in the late 70s and 80s, they started to experiment with carbon. Now, I'll just give you a quick overview. Aluminum is very, very accurate material. Every one of them weighs nearly exactly the same. Their spine, that's the stiffness around the arrow, is very important. That's why wood wasn't very accurate. Spine going around that arrow, or stiffness, as you go around the arrow, aluminum is great in that department as well, and you can get it very straight. So aluminum is still the most accurate material you can make an arrow out of. Carbon is great because it's lightweight and strong. So the Easton family started to look into carbon and what they could do with carbon. And what they found is carbon is really strong and durable and lightweight, so it's fast, but its accuracy is not as good as aluminum. So then they started making some carbon arrows. And then what we found is if we could put the two materials together, so you can take an aluminum arrow, which is really accurate, you take a carbon arrow, which is lightweight and durable and strong, and you put the materials together, you kind of get them working in concert, so you get the best of both worlds. So that's why we make arrows like the FMJ, like you mentioned, it's a hybrid, aluminum and carbon working together. And so, when you get those together, it's kind of the best of both worlds. You get the strength of the carbon and the lightweight working with the precision of the aluminum. But there's great all aluminum arrows, there's great all carbon arrows, and then there's the hybrid arrows. And really, you can get any of those to perform with you. You know, when you go out into the field, they're going to perform great. You just kind of understand what the differences are between them, and then pick the arrow material that works best for what you're trying to do.
Sure. And, I mean, it's going to be different for every shooter. You know, if you're shooting a crossbow, or if you're a kid shooting a 40-pound bow, or if you're a big guy like me shooting a 70-pound bow with a really long draw length, you know, it's there's too many variables to say that one arrow is going to be best for everyone. You really have to tune it to your particular situation. So let's talk about some general constructs, you know, with archery and things that do apply across shooters. Let's get into kinetic energy a little bit. So
sure. That's a great one. Yeah.
When we talk about an arrow impacting an animal, and how much kinetic energy is needed to get a pass through, which is what I want. I want a pass through on every animal. I want two holes in the animal. So to get a pass through on, say, a white-tailed deer, which is the most common big game animal here in Alabama, what amount of kinetic energy do we need, assuming we don't hit bone or, you know, hit anything major that's going to stop it?
Sure. So you can actually get a pass through with a smaller amount of kinetic energy. Say you have a short draw shooter, a youngster, or you know, we have a lot of women bow hunting today. Their draw lengths aren't generally as long as men, and they generally don't pull as much poundage. Well, honestly, to answer your question, you can get a pass through on a short draw light pounded shooter, depending on where you hit it. Mm-hmm. So there really is no threshold. Some states and game agencies will have thresholds where they say, oh, you got to shoot, you know, at least this poundage or at least this much kinetic energy. But there really is no cut and dried. Obviously, more is better. Mm-hmm. So what I try to teach people is some tricks on how they can increase their kinetic energy and how they can really stack the deck in their favor. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to put every advantage you can into your quiver. And so you can go out and kill a deer with a game getter that we've made since the 1960s just fine. You can also go out and kill a deer with a 30-pound bow and a short draw if you hit it in the right place and you have the right equipment. But as you start to stack up more and more advantages, your hunting will become more successful. So what I try to do is teach bow hunters what they can do to get more kinetic energy out of their particular setup so that they have a better chance, because you can't lengthen your arms. You can only draw so many pounds for your strength. What can those bow hunters do to take those advantages and make their system the best that they can for their particular bow and their particular, you know,
drawing
and so forth?
In a simplistic sense, I mean, kinetic energy is just mass times velocity. It's arrow speed multiplied by the weight of the arrow. So if I'm a female and my arrow is not going to have a short draw, have a low poundage bow, my arrow is not going to fly as fast as a guy who has a long draw and a heavier poundage.
Right.
So do you recommend increasing? So if you've got a slower arrow, do you recommend increasing the weight?
No, actually, here's what I do. I tell people, so the way bows and guns aren't the same, and people generally think, hey, you know what, if I shoot faster or, you know, I try to get more out of my bow, you know, you can do that with guns. You can go to a hotter load. There's things you can do to get more out of a particular gun. But really with a bow, you're kind of limited to what amount of potential energy is locked into those bow limbs when you're at full draw. So there are tricks and ways to get more out of your bow, and people think, hey, I'll shoot the lightest arrow I can, and then I'll get more speed. Well, what you're doing by doing that is you're leaving more energy in the bow. You're actually doing yourself a disservice. So an analogy I use is if you took an arrow that, say, was made out of something really light, say it was just, you know, this miracle lightweight material that doesn't even exist, and the arrow weighs almost nothing. What you would have is you'd basically be dry firing your bow. The bow would be really noisy. The arrow would have almost no energy when it impacted the target, like shooting a ping pong ball or something like that. It wouldn't do any damage. Now, if you imagine an arrow that's too heavy, like say you're shooting something like a crowbar, the arrow would fly a few feet and land at your feet on the ground, but it would leave almost zero energy in the bow. It would be absorbing all the bow's energy. So that's just an analogy I use when I'm explaining it to bow hunters. So what I tell bow hunters is one way to get more kinetic energy and more penetration out of their bow is to shoot an arrow that's just a little bit heavier. And what that does is it quiets the bow down, but it's doing that because it's taking more of the potential energy out of the bow limbs and delivering it downrange to the target. And that's why our FMJ arrows are so popular, because they weigh a little more. They have that aluminum jacket on the outside of the carbon, and it's taking more of that energy. So even though you're not increasing your poundage, you're not increasing your draw length, you're actually taking more of the bow's potential energy and making it available to drive that broadhead through big game.
That makes a lot of sense, Gary. Well, I'm learning a lot, and we'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors on Alabama's Great Days Outdoors.
Great Days Outdoors magazine is Alabama's leader in hunting and fishing information. Each month, you'll see a variety of articles from small game to big game, hunting and fishing. They even have game and fish recipes each month. Learn the latest tactics for hunting and fishing. From polywogs to gator trout, they've covered your outdoors for over 20 years. Specializing in how-to articles written by the best Alabama writers. Whatever your game, include Great Days Outdoors in your strategy. Subscribe online at greatdaysoutdoors.com and visit them on Facebook.
Right now, Trotter Marine in Saraland is selling Triton and Crestliner all-aluminum boats at cost, plus rigging. That's right, you can get a new Triton or Crestliner boat at their cost, plus the cost to set it up with an engine and rigging. Financing is also available for qualified buyers, so you can get your new boat with an affordable monthly payment. Trotter Marine also offers a complete line of truck accessories, including floor mats, toolboxes, rain guards, and more. Trotter Marine, Highway 43 in Saraland. Call 251-679-5959 or visit TrotterMarineLLC.com.
Dolphin Island Marina at the foot of the Dolphin Island Bridge is situated conveniently between the Intercoastal Waterway and Mobile Bay. Wet and dry slips are available at this 235-slip marina with all the amenities you need. Kayak, paddleboard, and pontoon boat rentals are available, as well as a restaurant and South Mobile County's best live bait shop. Dolphin Island Marina is a great starting point for your vacation adventure, whether coastal cruising or fishing, from your boat or with one of their professional charter captains. You'll find it all at Dolphin Island Marina on Dolphin Island at the foot of the bridge.
The Alabama Great Days Outdoors Tip of the Week. Baseball players use black face paint under their eyes in certain situations. This also works great when used as camouflage on your face and hands if you don't have a mask or gloves. When the hunt is over, have a box of wet wipes in the back of the truck, and you can clean yourself up before you go back into civilization. Bow hunters and duck hunters always need extra camo on the face and hands, and this roll-on product is an inexpensive alternative to the products sold especially for that purpose. Keep it in your backpack, and you can always camo up.
If you own a business in Alabama and want to reach the outdoors market with advertising on Alabama's Great Days Outdoor Radio Show, call 877-314-1237. Our show reaches all over Alabama, and your message will reach your targeted market. Radio ads can be combined with ads in Great Days Outdoors magazine and reach an even larger audience. Call 877-314-1237 to get all the details. That's 877-314-1237, or visit greatdaysoutdoors.com today.